Welcome everyone to another empowering episode of Dissertation in 90 Days, your go-to podcast for navigating the doctoral journey with greater ease and effectiveness. I'm here, courtesy of Writers ER, ready to guide, inspire, and equip you with the practical wisdom you need to thrive in your academic pursuits. Today, we're zeroing in on a topic that resonates with every doctoral candidate out there: the top five challenges faced by PhD students. In our time together today, we're not just going to name these challenges, we're going to tackle them head on. We'll delve into the heart of each issue, unpacking not only the what, but the why, and most importantly, the how of overcoming them. Our goal? To ensure that by the end of this episode, you're not just informed, but also inspired and equipped to move forward with renewed vigor and clarity in your doctoral journey. So, whether you're just embarking on this academic adventure or you're in the thick of it, grappling with your dissertation, today's conversation is tailor-made for you. We're here to transform daunting challenges into manageable tasks, turning the tide in your favor. Let's dive in and discover how you can navigate these challenges with confidence and emerge victorious in your doctoral journey. All right, let's dive into our first challenge, which hits close to home for so many of us: time management and procrastination. Now, if you're a PhD student, you know this all too well: balancing your research, writing, and let's not forget your personal life can feel like trying to juggle while riding a unicycle. It's tough, and more often than not, it leads to procrastination. You tell yourself, "I'll start tomorrow," but somehow, tomorrow becomes next week, and next week becomes next month. So, how do we tackle this? First up, let's talk about the Pomodoro technique. It sounds fancy, but it's quite simple. You work for 25 minutes straight, then take a 5-minute break. Rinse and repeat. This method keeps your work sessions short and focused. It's amazing how much you can get done in 25 minutes when you know a break is coming up. Next, set small, achievable goals. Instead of telling yourself, "I need to write a chapter this week," break it down. Aim to write a couple of paragraphs each day. These small wins add up and help maintain your momentum. Before you know it, those paragraphs turn into pages, and those pages turn into chapters. Lastly, treat your writing time like it's set in stone. Schedule it just like you would a meeting or a doctor's appointment. By making it non-negotiable, you give it the importance it deserves. This doesn't mean you need to write for hours on end. Even short, dedicated periods can lead to significant progress. Remember, managing your time effectively and overcoming procrastination isn't about working harder, it's about working smarter. By adopting these practical tips, you're not just getting closer to finishing your dissertation, you're also taking steps towards a more balanced, fulfilling doctoral journey. So, let's put these strategies into practice and make procrastination a thing of the past. Moving on to our second challenge, one that's as familiar as an old friend to anyone who's ever set out to write something substantial: overcoming writer's block. Picture this: you're sitting there, the cursor blinking mockingly on an otherwise blank page, and you feel stuck. It's as if all your brilliant ideas have decided to play hide and seek just when you need them most. Yes, we've all been there. So, what's the game plan for getting past this? First, let's take the pressure off. You don't have to start with the introduction or tackle the most complex section first. Start with what feels easiest or most appealing to you right now. Maybe it's a chapter you've been excited about or a section where you feel like you have the most to say. By beginning with the parts you're most comfortable with, you create momentum and build confidence, making it easier to tackle the tougher sections later on. Next up, let's talk about free writing. This is a fantastic exercise to get those ideas flowing. Set a timer for 10 or 15 minutes and just write. Don't worry about grammar, spelling, or even making sense. This is all about unclogging your brain and letting the ideas pour out. You might be surprised at what emerges when you give yourself permission to write freely without judgment. Lastly, consider keeping a daily journal related to your research. This doesn't have to be formal or structured. Simply jotting down your thoughts, reflections, and questions each day can keep your mind engaged with your topic. It's a great way to nurture your ideas, enhance your critical thinking skills, and keep the writer's block at bay. Remember, writer's block is a normal part of the creative process. It doesn't mean you've run out of ideas or that you're not cut out for this. By starting with your strengths, embracing free writing, and making a habit of journaling, you'll find that you can not only overcome writer's block, but turn it into an opportunity for growth and discovery. Let's keep those ideas flowing and those pages filling up. Now, let's tackle a challenge that's a bit more nuanced, but equally critical: navigating academic politics. This is about the intricate dance of relationships within the academic world, from your advisors and committee members to your peers. It's a realm where collaboration meets critique and where support intersects with scrutiny. Navigating these waters requires tact, strategy, and a healthy dose of emotional intelligence. First and foremost, let's talk about the cornerstone of all successful academic relationships: open communication. It's vital to establish clear expectations with your advisors and committee members right from the start. This means having candid conversations about your goals, timelines, and the level of support you're seeking. It's about ensuring everyone is on the same page, which can significantly reduce misunderstandings and stress down the line. However, it's also wise to look beyond your immediate academic circle. Seeking mentors outside of your department or institution can provide you with a fresh perspective and unbiased support. These external mentors can offer invaluable advice free from the dynamics and pressures of your own academic environment. They're like a breath of fresh air when you need it most. Additionally, don't underestimate the power of peer networks. Building a network of fellow PhD students and early career researchers can be a game changer. These are the folks who truly understand what you're going through because they're in the trenches with you. They can offer practical advice, share resources, and provide emotional support during tough times. Plus, these relationships can evolve into lifelong professional connections. Navigating academic politics is not just about surviving, it's about thriving. It's about building relationships that uplift and support you throughout your doctoral journey and beyond. By prioritizing open communication, seeking external mentors, and fostering a supportive peer network, you're setting yourself up for success, not just academically, but personally and professionally as well. Let's navigate these waters with grace, resilience, and a sense of community. Diving into our fourth challenge, we tackle a beast known to every PhD student: data collection and analysis. This is where the rubber meets the road, where your hypotheses are put to the test and your theories face the harsh light of empirical scrutiny. Gathering enough of the right kind of data and then making sense of it can feel like scaling a mountain with no summit in sight. Let's simplify this process, shall we? First off, break down your data collection into manageable, bite-sized steps. Instead of being daunted by the entire task, focus on what you can collect and analyze this week or even today. This approach not only makes the task more manageable, but also gives you a clear sense of progress. Before you know it, piece by piece, you'll have a comprehensive data set. Now, on to analysis. This can seem like a daunting task, especially with the volume and complexity of data most PhD projects entail. This is where software tools become your best friend. There's a wealth of data analysis software out there designed to simplify your work. From statistical packages like SPSS or R to qualitative data analysis tools like Invivo, these can save you an immense amount of time and significantly increase your accuracy. Familiarize yourself with one or two that are most relevant to your study. The investment in learning them pays off manifold in the long run. Lastly, Don't go at it alone. The chances are that there are workshops, courses, and seminars available either within your institution or online, specific to your field's data analysis methods. Attending these can provide you with new insights, techniques, and even shortcuts for handling your data. Plus, it's a great way to connect with others who might be struggling with the same challenges, offering an opportunity for mutual support and learning. Data collection and analysis don't have to be a solitary climb up an insurmountable peak. By breaking down the process, leveraging technology, and tapping into community resources, you can turn this challenge into an opportunity to showcase the strength and validity of your research. Let's approach this with confidence, knowing that with the right tools and strategies, you can and will conquer this mountain. As we round the corner to our final challenge, let's talk about something that touches every aspect of the PhD journey: maintaining motivation and well-being. The path to earning your doctorate is not just intellectually demanding, it's an emotional and physical marathon. It's all too easy to find yourself running on empty, overwhelmed by the pressure and the pace. Here's where we need to remember that taking care of our minds and bodies isn't just about preventing burnout, it's about fueling our success. Regular physical activity is a cornerstone of this. Whether it's a brisk walk, a yoga session, or a game of basketball, find an activity that you enjoy and make it a non-negotiable part of your routine. These moments of movement aren't just breaks from your work, they're investments in your mental clarity and endurance. But let's not stop there. Hobbies and interests outside academia can be a lifeline, a reminder that you are more than your research. They provide a mental escape, a chance to recharge, and sometimes they even offer unexpected insights into your work. Equally important is your support system. This journey was never meant to be a solitary one. Friends, family, and when needed, mental health professionals can provide the external perspective and emotional grounding that are so crucial. They're the ones who remind you of your worth beyond your work, who can offer comfort, encouragement, and sometimes a much-needed reality check. And finally, let's talk expectations. Setting realistic goals and celebrating the small victories along the way can be powerful morale boosters. Completed a difficult section of your literature review? That's a win. Received positive feedback from your advisor? Celebrate it. These moments of acknowledgement are beacons of progress, illuminating the path forward. In the grand scheme of things, maintaining motivation and well-being is about recognizing the PhD journey for what it is: a significant chapter in your larger life story, not the entirety of it. By taking care of yourself, physically and emotionally, you're not just surviving the process, you're thriving through it. Let's embrace these practices, keeping our well-being at the forefront, and march towards our goals with renewed energy and perspective. And just like that, we've navigated through the top five challenges faced by PhD students together. We started with the tricky terrain of time management and procrastination, moved through the hurdles of overcoming writer's block, took a detour into navigating academic politics, unpacked the complexities of data collection and analysis, and finally, we talked about maintaining motivation and well-being. It's clear that each of these challenges comes with its own set of obstacles, but more importantly, each one has practical, actionable strategies to overcome them. I encourage you, dear listeners, to not just listen, but to apply these tips to your doctoral journey. Remember, you're not alone in this process. The path to your PhD is shared by many, and there's strength in that community. I invite you to share your own experiences, tips, and stories on social media. Let's foster a community of support and encouragement, making the journey less daunting for everyone. Before we wrap up, a special note for those looking to turbocharge their dissertation journey: Dr. Anthony Robinson, who astonishingly completed 2 dissertations in just 6 months, has put together a playbook titled How to Get Your Dissertation Approved in 6 Months or Less. It's packed with insights, strategies, and actionable advice to help you cross the finish line faster than you thought possible. you can download this invaluable resource at WritersER. /playbook. Don't miss out on this game changer. Thank you all for tuning in to Dissertation in 90 Days. Your dedication to your academic and personal growth is what makes this community so extraordinary. I'm thrilled to tease the topic of our next episode, where we'll explore innovative ways to present your research. It's an episode you won't want to miss, especially if you're looking to make a lasting impact with your work. Until then, keep pushing forward, keep striving,